It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Patrick Chung obviously is included in that. So the first thing would be, you know, what does the league have to say? And that could lead to any suspension or anything along those lines. And then, of course, there's the team. You know, they don't have to wait for the league if they wanted to act in a certain way. But I will say this, the Patriots generally, you know, very supportive of players, and that they aren't one to make a rash judgment based on my history covering this team. They will sort of gather the facts, let the situation play itself out more often than not, than making a rash decision.
Mike Reese, ESPN, on the Patrick Chung situation. Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Myself and Ted Johnson from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Your thought on the Pat Chung situation, Teddy?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to amount to much of anything at the end of the day. I mean, I think maybe the optics of it look bad. I mean, oh, cocaine. Cocaine's a dirty drug, okay? And I can speak from experience. It can ruin lives. It's a nasty drug. However, having said that, there are people that can use it recreationally and be okay with it. Okay. So, do I think you're an awful person, if you have tried it or have not? No, I don't. There's people that can't handle it. And so it comes across as a dirty drug, and it is. There's so many kind of unknowns in this thing. There's so many details that are still left, unknown at this point, that it's really hard to make, a strong judgment. My feeling is they really like Patrick Chung. All right. You talk about Stephen Gostkowski as being one of Bill's favorites. I feel like Patrick is one of his favorites.
Oh my God. Ask you, Ted, in your experience, like when you were in your early 30s and you were making a lot of money, Bill came to you with 2 years left on your contract and said, you know what? I'm going to give you $3 million in an extra year. That happened with you all the time, didn't it?
All the time. I mean, it was just money from him.
Yeah, was it the opposite? Yeah. They say, you come and you give us a couple million back or your ass is on the street. They gave him $3 million, Ted, this year when he had 2 years left on his contract. Yep. They love the guy.
And I think that is the perfect example of how they, showing that they love him by giving him an extension. So I just think that he's going to get the benefit of the doubt because it's Patrick Chung. And my feeling is, okay, I mean, and this is maybe the one thing where you go, okay, they might have issues with it, is if he didn't tell him, if he didn't alert him to this was coming and that they were totally surprised like the rest of us. My feeling is he probably did tell him, and so that they weren't surprised. So that was going to give him a little bit more leniency in their eyes as well. I just don't think this – I mean, there's been a history of guys maybe getting caught with drugs on this team that nothing has happened to them. So, you know, it's – maybe at one time in this organization there was this moral compass, where there was – you know, maybe they felt like, okay, we can't have this guy – I don't think that's a philosophical, type of thing anymore in Foxborough.
God! I mean, just go down the line of drug, from Ty Law to Kevin Falk to, I mean, PEDs count too. Rodney Harrison, Julian Edelman, Rob Ninkovich. Ben Watson, Chandler Jones,
Jermaine Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. I mean, holy moly! Yeah.
These
dudes are spilling out his Spicoli's van there at the high school prom.
I mean, it is the NFL, Okay. I mean, these guys, you know, the guys go hard. I don't think not nearly as hard as they used to. I think there's definitely, because of social media and the gotcha kind of society we live in, guys are a little bit more careful or don't do it as much because they're discouraged and maybe getting caught. But they're in the NFL, and guys, they go hard. They go hard not only on the field but off the field sometimes.
So I would agree, if I'm handicapping the thing, I just think it kind of goes away. But I am just curious just of the details of the arrest. For no other reason other than just curiosity, I guess, because I'm with you. I think the details are going to tell me a lot, and it could really, like, I think the spectrum is pretty big on, like, I think this could go all the way from, on one side of it, the cops overreaching and arresting him for something that, I mean, they really didn't need to arrest him for. Like, what are you doing in the house? Mm-hmm. How much did you really find? Can you really prove it was his? And why are you going in like, you know, a ball busting cops overstepping? It could be on that side of the spectrum, or it could be on the whole other side where maybe Patrick Chung has a side the team doesn't realize. That wouldn't be the first time. And he's running with a bad crowd and they don't know it, which wouldn't be the first time. And that house had been, you know, targeted by the cops for good reason because it was a party house or a flop house. Yep. He's got bad company. Like, I've heard things on all sides of it. And I think based on the details, it could go from that whole one side to the whole other side. I'm just, you know, just because it's a news story and I follow it, I'm curious to see where it lands.
I am too. No, I am too. But I would say this. I think if I had to lean one way or the other, I'm leaning to the side that it's maybe not that there's foul play by the cops, but that it's just the amount. Did you need to do this? I don't know. Like, you, by the letter of the law, even if there's a little bit there, I'm told by my best friend who's a cop that, yeah, you know, theoretically you have the right to charge him. But I would say this: what is his past? What's his kind of? Does he have a rap sheet? No. Does he have a history of bad behavior? No. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I really am. And I'm going to lean on the side of caution with that. And the Pat Chung I know is a really, really good guy. He's a really good dad to his son. What I know of Patrick, and I know a little bit of Patrick, he's a really good guy. So I'm going to lean on giving him the benefit of the doubt until I hear more details.
Okay. So you want to weigh in on that? You can. Any follow-up thoughts at 617-779-0985. A couple of the items from Teddy's takes. I mentioned this too earlier. You look at the young players on this team. And that leads you to what conclusion, Teddy, when you see some of the young guys out there?
Yeah, this part of me thinks, Michael, again, this is hyperbole all over the place today for me, and I should be a little bit careful maybe, but screw it. This is the first time I've come on with you, so I'm going to go for it. I'll say that this draft class might be one of the better draft classes that Bill Belichick's had. From what I've seen so far, this has the potential of being maybe top to bottom the best draft class that he's ever produced. Now, it was brought to my attention. I want to give credit to where credit is due to Michael Holly, who I was doing the pre and post game show with last night on NBC Sports Boston, said, well, that 03 class is pretty good too. 03 class.
03 is, yep, Ty Warren, Eugene Wilson, Bethel Johnson, Dan Klecko, Asante Samuel, Dan Copen.
That's, yeah, pretty good.
Tully Bantakane in the seventh.
That's pretty good.
Not bad right there. Yeah.
Well, so look, I mean, if we want to go all-time history, I mean, I enjoy doing this because 1995 – first three players off the board.
Yeah, pretty good. Ty, a linebacker in there, it was all right.
Ty Law, Ted Johnson, Curtis Martin. Like, I sort of like that draft. But if we're just going Patriots drafts, N'Keal Harry, Juwan Williams, Chase Winovich, Damian Harris, first four off the board, all seen good things from all of them.
Yeah, all look like they have a role already.
In some cases, great things. I mean, like, some of them look like they could be. Well, now I don't want to jump the gun. But early on, all four look like they can contribute this year right out of the chute. Then you had a couple of Lyman and Kajewski and Froholt. I'm just going to let Greg Bedard and you guys do that on your own time. Stidham was in the fourth round. This Brian Cowart, fifth round pick, defensive tackle out of Maryland. Again, first
play. I had him playing in the first series last night.
First play of the game last night stuffs Christian McCaffrey right in the hole.
Yes. Impressive.
Again, showing up. This Cowart kid, like, he's got to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Bailey, they traded up in the fifth. And normally I'd say do the punter talk on your own time, except this guy, geez, Ted, even again last night, there's a couple of them where he hits it, and the camera goes to the returner, and you're waiting for the ball to come down. It's like, where'd the ball go? I mean, the hang time thing is for real. I enjoy watching the guy freaking bunt the ball. So
he did down one inside the 10 last night.
Yes, and right. So that's, well, you know, that's a big concern with him. Does he have the touch on some of these? The next thing you're going to hear is the holding, because the mental case kicker needs it, obviously. But so, I mean, let's combine the last two.
I mean, don't forget Jacoby Myers. I mean, he wasn't drafted. He's undrafted, but still
add him
part
to
of
the
this
list. Draft Fine. Choice. Yeah. I'll add him. And then last year, Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, Duke Dawson. I don't know what his status is, but Bentley. And if you want to add J.C. Jackson to it, because he was the undrafted guy last year, you add those two drafts together, and I think they're building something there. You can see something coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's super important because, as you said, they were one of the oldest teams in the league last year. Another item, defensive play calling. What do you see there?
Okay, well, I'm trying to figure out who the defensive coordinator is. I wish somebody would give me an honest answer. I've asked some beat writers, can you find out who's addressing the defense after the team meeting breaks and it's just the defense and before you break out into your positional groups? Who's talking to the defense? To me, that's the defensive coordinator. All right, so not the guy that calls in plays from the, you know, at practice. And I'll be honest, I don't know. I haven't even seen – okay, so what did you see last year from Brian Flores? You knew he was a defensive coordinator. Why? Because when they'd show him on the sideline, what was he doing?
But he had the play sheet. Yeah.
You know, he's talking like this. Okay. I haven't seen Gerard Mayo's mouth move a whole lot when they pan to him. Or, you know, he'll signal in.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pepper Johnson used to signal in, too, and he was never even close to being a defensive signal call or defensive coordinator. So, if you know, the one thing that I saw last night where I go, okay, well, maybe he is the defensive coordinator, and he is calling the plays, and is after it was a 3rd and 10, I forget if it was the first series or second series, Carolina, and they sent an all-out blitz. I mean, they sent 7 guys. I think it was – there was no safety high, so it was a 0 casino blitz, and they got a sack. Stephen Belichick goes over to Gerard Mayo and gives him a little dap.
They had a moment.
They did. And so – and I always wonder if that dynamic is – that's an interesting dynamic, those two. But there's
– let's circle back to that,
yeah,
shall we?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Go ahead.
But so – look, if you're going to have Gerard Mayo call the plays, God bless him. I mean, that is impressive. I will say that. He's never coached before. He's the middle, by title, the middle linebackers coach. And if Bill entrusts him to call the plays, good for him. That's awesome. Now, I can say you can always go maybe with a more inexperienced defensive coordinator in this situation. Why? That defense is an older, established vets who are mature, who've been around, that can handle maybe, you know, they don't necessarily need, you know, a strong task-matching kind of defensive coordinator. You can have maybe a younger up-and-coming guy.
So it's either,
still be okay.
It's either Gerard Mayo, who hasn't coached ever,
right,
anything that I know of. Maybe his kid's Pop Warner, but I'm not even sure about that. Or the coach's kid, the boss's kid. But neither feel right, except I think it's going to be a great defense, and yeah. I don't know. And if it's Bill... I need someone to train a camera on Bill, and I need to know how much he's talking during the play calling time, like during plays, because I, you know, you can see Mayo's in charge of personnel, and yeah. You know, Steven's on the headset, and they're like talking to each other. Yeah. Clearly, Mayo and Stephen Belichick are doing something. Is Bill also in the conversation?
I'd love to know,
because Bill doesn't have the play sheet. You know, not that he needs it, but he obviously doesn't have a play sheet. Is he really talking during there? Is he just letting those two go? And what's it going to be when the rubber really meets the road? I find it interesting. But the whole thing about Mayo being willing to work with Stephen Belichick, you think that may have impacted some of the other coaching decisions around here?
It's just something I thought about. You know, Greg Schiano, who was originally hired as a defensive coordinator, left after, 1 year, 1 month on the job. You just wonder, was it kind of, you know, when it was...
Do you want to know the timing on that?
Yes.
Because Greg Schiano... stepped down. I don't have the exact dates, but it's something like this. He stepped down on
March 27th,
and Gerard Mayo was officially hired March 28th. So you think Greg Schiano had a little heads up of what was coming down the pike?
Perhaps. You know, I mean, if there was at one time where the defensive staff, seriously, back in March, was Stephen Belichick and Greg Schiano.
Yeah, right.
Like, and I'm just wondering if like it was kind of you know implied to Schiano, like, my son's going to have a heavy hand in play calling and scheming. And you just wonder if Shiana was like, yeah, no, I'm good with that. I don't know. Where Gerard Mayo is like, yeah, okay, I'm okay with that. Cool. I know Steven since he was this big. And all right, fine. You just wonder if there's some of that going on.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts, your calls, and a quick thought on what they're doing with this pass interference review stuff across the league. Coming up right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Patrick Chung obviously is included in that. So the first thing would be, you know, what does the league have to say? And that could lead to any suspension or anything along those lines. And then, of course, there's the team. You know, they don't have to wait for the league if they wanted to act in a certain way. But I will say this, the Patriots generally, you know, very supportive of players, and that they aren't one to make a rash judgment based on my history covering this team. They will sort of gather the facts, let the situation play itself out more often than not, than making a rash decision.
Mike Reese, ESPN, on the Patrick Chung situation. Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Myself and Ted Johnson from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Your thought on the Pat Chung situation, Teddy?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to amount to much of anything at the end of the day. I mean, I think maybe the optics of it look bad. I mean, oh, cocaine. Cocaine's a dirty drug, okay? And I can speak from experience. It can ruin lives. It's a nasty drug. However, having said that, there are people that can use it recreationally and be okay with it. Okay. So, do I think you're an awful person?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk squirrel down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now 3rd and 12. Under pressure. Greer off the back foot. Heaves it to the end zone. Incomplete.
Good little tug there by Jackson. I got away with one, and he's asking for the hold. He felt
the
grab.
Call.
Well, you know what? If he doesn't, tug him, he probably catches that. Throw the red flag. There you go.
Ron Rivera's going to toss the red flag out for a second time tonight.
This is a good challenge here. You're going to have a first down. The ball's in the air down the field. It's either going to be holding or pass interference. I mean, it's a holding call. And here's why it's going to get overturned, I think. You impeded the progress.
Carolina is challenging that there was defensive pass interference.
With the receiver,
we'll take the
ball.
Review of the play.
I think, yes.
Timeout.
That's a play where I said that before he threw the challenge.
I don't know what to tell you. Good luck with this role if this is going to be the case moving forward. I mean, you understand it?
I don't.
Well, even with that particular look, Jackson also had his right hand on the right.
So he hit him twice. Then. He had two instances of contact.
Ron Rivera with a no call, looking for pass interference, using a second challenge of the night, and both of them denied.
Oh, this rule is going to be a disaster. It's going to be a hot mess. If you stayed to the end of this game, and if you didn't, I don't blame you. I mean, it's garbage time of the preseason. But this is the last drive of the game, second to last drive of the game. J.C. Jackson is covering a Carolina receiver into the end zone, number 14. Ball over the top, and it's ruled incomplete on the field. No PI. Rivera throws the flag. And you heard Zoe there. Even Zoe, again, who... Yeah, looks through it with Patriots colored glasses when it comes to the officiating. I don't know if you've noticed this.
But no, really?
Even Zoe said, this one's coming back. They're going to throw the flag. This is the first time because J.C. Jackson first clearly grabbed him by the jersey on the goal line. And then, again, we're showing the still pictures on NBC Sports Boston, grabbed him again inside the shoulder pads at the very end when he was deeper in the end zone. Clearly grabbed him, clearly held him back. Zoe said he would have caught the ball if Jackson hadn't have grabbed him. Like, obvious. And they didn't bring it back. And at least they're being consistent in that it's really taking a lot for them to overturn a lot of these. Okay? But.
That's what you want, though, Michael.
You do. You do want them to be consistent. But he clearly grabbed him. He clearly impeded him. It could have been, it was PI and not holding because the ball was clearly in the air. And I'm telling you, the first time this happens, and it's going to happen week one to someone, and they're going to lose a game by less than 7 points, and they're going to say, the ball was in the air, he clearly grabbed him, and you didn't reverse it. What are we doing with this rule? And fans will not be able to handle it, Ted.
Yeah.
That's why it's not going to work, because fans aren't going to be able to handle it.
I think it's awesome. I love chaos. I think it's awesome. I might differ with you on this, Michael. I think I do. I absolutely love that this is being put in. That they're I'll give the NFL credit. I really will.
Should they have brought that play back then last night? No.
No. No, I did not think that that was an egregious hold right there. I mean, the still shot. So, Ted, he's gripping. Yeah, but it wasn't, you know.
Just wait till Mike Hurley.
That wasn't that egregious. I didn't think it was one of those where you go, oh, my gosh, clearly that was a pass interference.
Okay.
And I love the fact that they're not overturning what I would call that as a ticky-tack questionable type of penalty.
So I agree with that. I'm telling you, though. So that's not what we disagree about, because I wish they let most of that stuff go, too. I'm glad they let it go, too. I'm telling you, fans aren't going to be able to handle it, okay? If that were a regular season game and that happened against the Patriots, you've got all these guys around town, like the Mike Hurleys of the world and the Jerry Thorntons of the world, who are going to screen grab that and show the defensive back clearly grabbing the Patriots jersey, clearly impeding him and costing him a touchdown and maybe costing him a game, and fans are going to lose their minds, and it's going to be annoying. It's going to you just wait. Fans are not going to be able to handle it.
You're probably right, but I give the NFL credit for just trying it. Let's just see how it goes. I mean, it's, you know, and this is a league that never changed anything, never liked to adjust the rules. They were so archaic in a lot of their kind of how they saw things. I like that they're trying new things. I know that you're not a big proponent of instant replay or this kind of stuff, but I do think it has a place in the game. And I you know, benefited, obviously, from instant replay with the tuck rule. So I just want to get it right. I get there's a whole process. I don't think the game is that slowed down as much as everybody's kind of making it out.
How'd you feel about the flag in the first half?
I can't watch college football.
How'd you feel about the flag in the first half?
Okay. Well,
that was ridiculous. It was not even close. And that took up 2 minutes of our lives.
Okay. Yep. All right. Fair enough, but you still only get two challenge flags.
Yes, that's right.
So I think it's, look, it's just another thing that you can review. I get, but at the end of the day, you still get two challenges. So I don't have a problem with it. I think that the spirit of the rule is harkens back to what happened in the NFC playoff game between the Saints and the Rams. That was a clear, without question.
So that's what it's going to take.
And I like that. That's the spirit of the rule. I don't want it to be ticky tack.
Okay, let's see if fans can handle it. Let's see if Hurley can handle it. The first time that happens against the Patriots, something tells me he won't be able to. Back to your phones, as promised. Colin and Haverhill, go ahead.
Hey, who do you think is going to win week one, Patriots win or the Steelers?
Okay, this is what I've been talking about all day. I think the Patriots, unlike previous years, they have not built in this soft opening. They are ready to go. Unlike a lot of years where I think Bill just sort of bakes in this slow start and room to grow. And it's primarily the defense. I think, as Ted has been saying all day, they know who they are. They know what they are week one, and there's not going to be much of a feeling out process like there normally is. And I think those joint practices, back-to-back weeks, really help them. And unlike previous years, we're not going to get this slow start. I think they're going to be balls to the wall week one. And as I said earlier, my opening take today is that it's going to be a long time until you lose a football game.
They'll lose in week two against Miami. Okay. You can book that right now.
Because
it's
I'm
in
saying
September.
It, well,
yep,
well,
it's in September.
Because I'm saying it, they'll probably lose week two in Miami. That's true.
But because of the history in Miami, they have won once in Miami since 2012. And every time I say the Patriots are basically guaranteed to lose that game in Miami in week two, people freak out. I don't know. That's the House of Horrors. Weird things happen there. They always lose there. Why can't you accept that they might lose in Miami in week two?
Because I can accept it. I'm just telling you, I think this is the year. They're going to shoot out of the cannon. Soon we're going to be talking about undefeated seasons and things like this. I just feel that coming.
I totally agree. They're just in a better frame of mind, all of them, this entire team, comparatively speaking to where they were last year at this time. Night and day different. Tom Brady is basically playing on a one-year deal. He's got a massive, massive chip on his shoulder. And this defense looks like it's going to be elite. And I think this draft class, hell, the last two draft classes – are going to be hugely impactful. So there's an infusion of youth with an established veteran core, with a very motivated quarterback, and everybody's happy. This team knows how to be front runners. This team knows how to, you know, follow up a Super Bowl championship with another Super Bowl championship kind of running. So they're just in a better place mentally than they were last year at this time.
Dante and Linfield, go ahead.
Hey, Teddy, first off, thank you for all you've given us, sir, and thank you for your professionalism from when you played. But, Mike, I wanted to talk about the quarterbacks. You know, after the fact that he didn't play last night, they're all calling for his head. I think it would be a huge mistake to cut Hoyer. I really don't like Stidham all that much. I think he's been a huge beneficiary of the suckbag competition they've had. They've dropped probably like four picks in his favor. I really think they need to stick around with Hoyer because God forbid something did happen to Brady. I think Hoyer is much more ready to carry a team right now.
Teddy, your thought on that?
I don't think it's that big of a drop. I think you can manage a game with Jared Stidham as the backup. I think there's so many close calls at other positions, and I think there's more deserving players that are going to lose. If you're going to keep Brian Hoyer, I think there's a more deserving player that's going to get cut than keeping Brian Hoyer on this team. We know what he is. I get it. I just think you can manage it. You can win football games with Jared Stidham. Right now, you just want to, you want him to be a game manager. He's managing. He looks poised from an operational standpoint, getting him in the right calls, lining him up. You're not seeing a lot of operational mishaps when he's out there. I think Bill Belichick, with this defense, that running game, and his coaching IQ, you can win games with him.
I really like what I've seen out of Stidham. I really have. And I think you'd win games with both backups. And I like Hoyer as a backup as well. But I think it's to more of what Ted said, and that is there's a roster crunch all over the place. You're going to keep three quarterbacks? That feels like a little much. Real quick, J.K. and Revere. Go ahead, J.K.
Yes. How many interceptions has Brady thrown over the past 7 to 10 years?
Not many. So what's your point?
Well, that fits not only the passing game, but it really fits with the running game because he doesn't give up field position much, and the offense is ready to go once the defense stops the other team.
Okay. Well, I don't quite get the point.
I'm not sure where he's going with that.
When they were a massive, massive passing teams, he would have seasons with four interceptions. Last year, he had, seven? He had the most he'd had in a while.
A long time.
But I'm not sure exactly the caller's point. I think this year
that receiving core was, let's face it, at the start of the season,
was
was not good.
But I think they're going to be a you know, running defense field position kind of team, even though their quarterback is still one of the best in the league. So that's another reason why I think they're going to be pretty good this year. We are almost all football today, as you can expect, but there is one thing that we did want to get to yesterday we didn't get to with the Patrick Chung news, and that is the two-year anniversary of the Kyrie Irving trade. I just want to get some thoughts on that, and the amount of people out there who think the Celtics won this trade, to me, is it's mind-boggling. We'll get to that.
Embarrassing is the word.
Or embarrassing. That's another good word, Jimmy. We'll get to it right after McCarthy's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a real quick Patriots breather. We're mostly Pats today, but I just wanted to get to it for a second, because this is technically an agenda-free Friday brought to you by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Did the Celtics win the Kyrie Irving trade 2 years later? It was 2 years ago yesterday they made the trade. Yeah. The number of people who hang on to this thing that they won the trade to me is, Jimmy, it's what now? What's the word you used?
Embarrassing.
Mm. So it's just Celtics media primarily, but there's a lot of people who want to hang on and say they won the trade. Ted, do you think they won the trade?
No, they did not win the trade. I mean, it was a completely an utter failure. This past season was so frustrating and so. If you're a basketball fan and I am, it kind of just made it not fun. It's always a tricky thing when you trade for someone though. If you just don't know exactly what you're getting. I mean, you look at what's going on with the Raiders with Antonio Brown, and you go, it was a risk. I maybe understand why you took it, but to say that you won it at the end of the day, say that.
It's two different things. If you want to tell me they would do it again or you would do it again, I disagree with that too, but at least that's reasonable, because I would, it didn't work out. We lost a trade, but I'd do it again because ... in that league, you have to take risks on talent. Okay. I would do it again because when you get someone that good for that good of a price, you can't say no. Okay. Like, again, if you would do it again.
I don't think they ever would, by the way.
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I would not hitch my wagon to some a-hole like that. Why would you want to do that again? But again, there's reasons to do it in that league. Talent's hard to come by. And if you get a great talent for a good price, you've got to take the risk. I think that's a reasonable thing to say. I disagree, but it's reasonable. To say they won it? What did they get out of it? Tell me 2 years later, where are they better? Where? Tell me.
They're not.
Where?
They're not. That's the thing. And it's ridiculous that you even have to ask us the question if the Celtics won the trade or not. Of course they didn't. Of course they didn't win this trade. It's absolutely delusional. This is not some NBA 2K world where you punch everything in and, oh, we got good value on this trade. This guy came in, destroyed your franchise, left 2 years later for absolutely nothing. And you're going to sit here and tell me that it was a win or even a draw for the Celtics? It was an absolute loss. So I can't believe people are saying this.
How fans distort the argument, or the green teamers distort the argument, is saying, well, the trade let you get rid of Isaiah Thomas. You didn't have to pay Isaiah Thomas. You got rid of all these mediocre players. To which the answer is, dummies, you didn't need to acquire Kyrie Irving to not sign Isaiah Thomas. All you had to do was not sign Isaiah Thomas.
Which they weren't going to do.
They weren't going to do anyway. They had the medicals. Or trade Isaiah Thomas for someone else who wasn't going to destroy your franchise from within. You could have traded Jay Crowder for someone else. You could have traded Avery. I know it was a separate trade, but like that whole off, you could have done those different trades and not brought in Kyrie Irving. Why did you need to acquire Kyrie Irving just to ditch Isaiah Thomas? That's stupid and not accurate. You just didn't have to sign Isaiah Thomas. That could have been independent. So that's just disingenuous. It's a lot of it is people don't want to give Danny Ainge a loss because they think so highly of him, which I get. But you win some, you lose some.
Huge miscalculation on just who maybe who they thought they were getting as far as personality and a guy that would be collaborative.
They misjudged the character.
And bring in it, you know, and being a leader and that kind of thing. And then maybe they misjudged that Brad Stevens could actually coach up a guy of his ilk, somebody with that kind of not only talent but ego as well. And they miscalculated on that because that was one of the biggest storylines going into last year was can he manage the egos? And I think that was clearly answered by the end of the season that he was not ready for that role yet.
2 years later, where are you better? 2 years later, Cleveland has a lottery pick. He may not be a great player, but at least they have that. 2 years later, what do you have?
Well, Mike, you have the great culture. Oh, wait, your culture
is
gone.
It's been ruined.
So Jimmy raised this point. The biggest,
and you have to reestablish that culture that was so prevalent and so worked so well here.
To me, the biggest loss and the biggest lingering loss that they still have to overcome and I think the Kemba Walker thing helped them, but they went from a team that was at the time really sort of a hot destination and looked like guys wanted to come here and were willing to come here to now it looks like guys are fleeing and jumping ship. And so the Kemba Walker thing was really important, I think, to stop that bleeding.
I agree.
But that's it. And Jimmy wrote, can I just read your email, Jimmy?
Please do.
I think this to me is the biggest point. The biggest loss in the trade was their culture and the potential bad rap of the program they took so long to build up. Jimmy says, I feel like Irving has MF'd the Celtics to so many people in the NBA and to so many stars in the NBA, including the player Danny wanted the most in Anthony Davis. And Davis, now a member of Clutch Sports, who is building up a clientele of NBA star players who likely now won't want to go to Boston because Irving and Davis have bad words about them.
Yeah.
With Irving here, the coach was questioned. There became a divide in the locker room. And this team decided that playing hard during the regular season was optional. That's what the goal of this season has now become, to get the culture back and hope that Tatum develops into Kobe Bryant. That's it. You've got,
because
Irving is just ripping you to everyone that'll listen in the league. And now Anthony Davis is too. And anyone in that orbit and anyone in that world now looks at Boston and says, see, and how's the coach's reputation before Irving?
That was the hottest coach in the game.
Now
LeBron loved him.
Whether it's fair or not, I think Brad's a good coach. I think it's an unfair rap, but this is what happens when you bring in an a-hole and give him the keys to the franchise. And then he leaves. And now what do you think Irving's saying about Brad Stevens around the league and what he's saying about the Celtics around the league?
Yeah.
You have to repair.
It's so true.
And sort of start over on this whole thing. So the trade hurt you. You did not win it. If you say you want to do it again because you have to take risks on talent in the league, at least that's a halfway reasonable statement. But then again, are you going to give the keys to your franchise to Carmelo Anthony or, you know, James Harden? Or, you know, I know you like James Harden, but I think there are, you know, why would, just for talent, you're going to give up a lottery pick for some franchise-killing, coach-killing a-hole? I mean,
those days are done because there's an overreaction. My feeling is they've learned their lesson. I mean, they went out and drafted good guys. Kemba Walker, great guy, great teammate, great leader. And don't forget, you're missing out. You're missing one other thing that happened that the optics look bad from a national standpoint about the Celtics is, what was the biggest free agent acquisition they had in forever and a day?
Oh, Al Horford. Gordon Hayward.
But it was Al Horford.
Yeah.
And where's he just chose?
He bolted.
He could have stayed here, and he chose to leave. So not only is Kyrie bad-mouthing you, the most coveted free agent in years that came here in 2016 to build something opted to go to your rival in Philadelphia.
So the Irving trade, never mind that it blocked you from trading the guy you really wanted to trade for in Anthony Davis. Never mind that it may have in some way gotten in the way of you getting in on Kawhi Leonard. You still could have done it if you had given up Jaylen Brown, but I think that, because you had your three guys, you thought you didn't need Kawhi Leonard. so you didn't want to make that trade. So it stood in the way of you trading for guys that subsequently were traded for much less, or what trades you easily could have made because you had Kyrie Irving here. It was a loss. How come some people just don't want to take a loss? So you win some, you lose some. You'll win the next one. Danny's track record is amazing. His batting average is great. Just take the loss.
Because you're worried about friendships.
Good God.
Relationships.
You know, it sucks, though, because Danny... Go ahead.
Let's pick this up on the other side. Danny, we try and stay on the clock. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I remember a few months ago you talked about you can't do anything until obviously free agency starts. Mm-hmm. You used the analogy kind of like that's when you can kind of have the wedding. Well, is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I could say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Okay. But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
I talked to one guy who was the same guy that told me Durant was going to the Warriors in January of that year. The same guy said, don't fall for it with this Kyrie stuff. Don't fall for it all year long. He goes, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. And when everybody thought he was coming back, the same guy was like, he's not. He's like, I'm telling you right now, he's not. Kyrie just knew, let me just play it this way. And either he convinced Boston he was coming back, or Boston's game plan as a front office was that everybody they talked to just positive, positive, positive. Kyrie's coming back. Kyrie's coming back. It's a certainty. It's a lock. It's the whole thing. I don't think Kyrie had any intention of sticking around. And I think it goes back to last year in the playoffs and not showing up. I think all this stuff is connected. And whether Boston knew it and played it a certain way or Kyrie played them, and that's fine because what they gave up asset-wise...
It was a great risk. I support it.
And good trade.
We made a risk by trading for Kyrie. And no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on.
Meaning you do it again? I think the next time I take a closer look at the guy's personality, does it fit with your culture? Does it fit with your coach? As they should. They didn't take a hard enough look at that.
But Mike, didn't it take him forever to finally pull the trigger? I mean, just being in Houston the last 8 years, it always seemed like, okay, you got all these assets and you're kind of building to make that one kind of trade that's going to put you over the hump. And when are you going to do it, man? You know, time is...
He had waited just a little longer. Ooh, there's Kawhi Leonard, and there's Anthony Davis.
Okay, so he took his shot, and man, did he miss. I mean, it took him forever, it felt like, to make a move that was going to get this team over the hump, and then the one he does totally bit him in the butt.
Okay, so just a Kyrie anniversary. Mix that in with all of our Patriots thoughts here with Ted Johnson on an agenda-free Friday. Let's Robin Haverhill on the Kyrie thing. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah, we definitely lost on that trade the whole way. That was just a mess to begin with. The first year, he complained about the rookies, made a stupid movie. Second year, he just complained about everything and did nothing.
I mean, just tell me one way you're better off 2 years later. Tell me one way.
You're not. You're worse off.
Well, the kids. The kids didn't.
Nope, they took a step back in year two when Kyrie played.
And then maybe there's going to be
the coach proved that he could coach a super. Oh wait, no,
there might be residue from still left over from Kyrie being here. You don't know if he tainted their minds. I mean, now they're going to look at it a little different. Maybe
they sort of have to rebuild their reputation as a destination, as a program.
Yes,
Stevens. Well, but they made the NBA fun. No, they didn't do that either.
Rich in California on the Patriots defense. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Mike and Ted, thanks for taking my call. Love watching the show live in California. My question is to both of you guys. Do you guys feel like this year's defense will play a more attacking style for the pass instead of a bend, don't break? And if they do, is it due to the talent on defense or the questions on offense?
Okay, important. I'm sorry, I cut you off there. He's saying, is that because of the offense, you know, taking a step back? Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating, Ted, because I think Bill Belichick, you'll know better than me, but you tell me if I'm wrong, that Bill really is content 3-4 cover 2 GTFB, get the F back, don't give up the big play, and you know, like, he's more than happy just to play that. And to be aggressive, it really takes his coordinator or someone else to, you know, release the hounds and send extra guys, because you know the thing he hates the most is the big play. So he doesn't want to give up, you know, guys in back to rush the quarterback. And I think you're seeing it was a really aggressive defense last year. I think even in preseason, you mentioned it, the aggressiveness so far. So has Bill had a philosophical switch or what?
I think so. And I think, look, you're so right when you say 34 cover two, Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, whenever things were getting hairy, whenever it was like, guys, it just seemed like we were starting to lose it. 34 cover two, ready break. And that's what we'd call. And it just kind of whoop, right back. And so his
default.
Nature, his default is but he's also shown that he's a very adaptable coach. Like he can change what he does in the game. He can change philosophically what he's doing year to year, offensively and defensively. So I think he's one of those guys that he just adapts and is able to change. And what separates him from the other coaches is he has the balls to do it.
So right.
He has the balls to change most coaches, we do what we do. All you idiot coaches out there. If I hear the term, hey, we just do what we do. We're going to do what we got to
do. Loss. As soon as I hear that during the week leading up to a game, I say, well, you're losing.
Yep.
Because that
doesn't work.
And that's so right. I think Bill has his defaults and the things that he wants to do. But if he has something else that's working, he'll do that. That's all that he cares about.
And to answer the caller's question about is it more about the personnel that makes him aggressive, I think there's some truth to that. When you have playmakers on this defense, right? Why do you want to hold these guys? Well, you have Michael Bennett, playmaker. I think Juwan Bentley is going to be a playmaker, okay? I think Jamie Collins is a playmaker.
I think Kyle Van Noy's turned into a playmaker. You're reluctant
you're not
with
ready
that.
To come around
I don't
on
know.
That, Ted.
He's really figured out how to rush the quarterback, and he has an impact. I mean, play he hurt himself on last night. He beat that guy clean.
He did.
I mean, he wasn't doing that when he first got here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what? He's a nice player. He's a nice player.
You're reluctant on Van Noy. I like that.
I like that. Dig in, Ted. That's what we do on our show.
Well, I was critical of both him and Hightower last year too. So I thought Hightower was just not really motivated.
And then the playoffs happened.
Now he's Mr. February.
Well, exactly. He is, man. When the money's on the table. Yeah. Mike and Braintree on the Kyrie thing. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy? Listen. You know, you blame Henry big time for the Chris Sale thing, not Dombrowski. And you love to hammer Danny about Kyrie, but not Wick. But I think Wick made Danny get Kyrie. I think Wick was the fanboy in this instance. I remember hearing him specifically say on these airwaves that he was totally involved with getting Kyrie. So, you know, I don't know why you blame Henry so much and not Dombrowski.
So, you know what? Because, Mike,
I see such parity there, dude. Explain it to me, please.
Okay, my impression is that Henry is more involved with the baseball decisions with the Red Sox than Wick is with the basketball decisions with the Celtics. But maybe I'm wrong about that, because you're not the only one who's mentioned that. Jimmy, is there any scuttlebutt out there, any sort of word, because you hear these things, that Wick was involved with the Kyrie thing and go do this?
I think at the end, when there was the injury concern with Isaiah Thomas, I think maybe he even admitted this on the air, that he called Dan Gilbert and was like, let's figure this out already.
Well, so I know right at the very end, he and Gilbert figured out the...
But I don't think there was anything before that.
So, but that was just on the Isaiah piece, because the Celts had to throw in like an extra second rounder, remember? Because he failed the physical.
There was
like
a rumor that we had heard about him and Gilbert being overseas in another country closing the Kyrie deal. But
again, that
he said that that didn't happen.
But that wasn't Kyrie. That was the Isaiah physical part. But look, to the caller's point, I'll blame whoever. I don't care. I'm fine. Wick and Danny, put them both in the same basket. They lost the trade. Fine. No problem.
I like Wick.
Me too. But you win. Dude. Yeah, but you win some, you lose some. That's all. Andy in Hartford. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, guys. I called about Kyrie once before, and I'll be brief. We can lose with self-respect, or we can lose without self-respect. Well, we lost without self-respect. Number two, the coach should have been fired before Kyrie. He gets paid to know this. Can you imagine if Kyrie was a football player and Belichick drafted him? Within 30 days, he would have been benched, and then he would have been cut for no consideration whatsoever.
But different sports. It's, come on.
It's so different, and it drives me mad.
So, but let's not go there, because we'll drive ourselves crazy if we do that.
We digress.
But what I do find interesting, Ted, and this is why it's going to be a fascinating NBA season, I think, you know, if Stevens takes this team back to the East Finals or the Finals and takes them deep again, he redeems himself, and we see that it was really Kyrie Irving, and he was the a-hole. Kyrie Irving, boy, does he have something to prove. Mm-hmm. If he takes the Nets and, you know, lifts them on their back and they become a deep playoff team, then we look at it and we go, ooh, you know, you sort of didn't, you didn't do your job because you didn't do enough to surround this guy who, you know, so Kyrie has something to prove. Brown, Tatum, all these guys have so much to prove in terms of who really was it last year, who do we really look at, and that's, I think, going to make it, I mean, really interesting.
Fascinating
to
stuff.
Me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I also, part of the onus, besides maybe Danny Ainge making that trade, which we all agree was a bad trade, is Brad Stevens. That's your job as a coach, you know, to maybe make this guy motivated, to get him to buy in, to get him to, you know, kind of embrace the team that he's playing on, even though he maybe has one foot out the door. That's partly on the coach. In his job is to get your player motivated, get him in the right frame of mind when he's got one foot out the door.
So let's see if Stevens has his team back this year, quote unquote. Let's see what he does with it. So we can continue with this. We'll circle back to all of our Patriots thoughts as well, both on last night and the team in general. There's no commercials, just an update here from McTakey. And Gasper will be joining us next hour at some point as well. So don't go anywhere. No spots.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Spring. Field.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.